Hi there, it's Darius from the SRA podcasting team, and I'm joined by Dave Masterman, Pippa Taylor, and Chris Bourne from Radio X. One of the big successes over the last couple of months has been the Chris Moyles show on Radio X in the mornings. One of the things you picked up on earlier was that Chris Moyles breaks the fourth wall, and he invites you guys to do that. Do you think student radio presenters should try breaking the fourth wall, or do you think it leaves it open to messy shows?
Absolutely, yes. I think Chris's unique talent, we were talking about the unique talents of different presenters, and one of Chris's unique talents is breaking the fourth wall, but only because he does it so well, and he makes it out as if it's chaotic and out of control, but actually he's completely in control, and that only comes from going through the complete rules of radio and getting that really, really solid, you know, getting your bread and butter links of radio in the bag and practiced and rehearsed. And it's only when you get really, really, really good at it, then you can start developing your own style on things like breaking the fourth wall. So Chris does it really well, but I think when other people, you know, try to do it, it can end up messy. It's sometimes messy when we do it, to be fair. But yeah, I think you have to go with whatever style you feel is best for your show rather than try and copy someone else's.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it briefly in the session as well. I think sometimes it's not always wise for a presenter to really try and imitate another presenter or try and follow someone else's style. It might feel like a good idea, but if that's not your natural style or the way that you might be able to be getting the best out of your show, it might not be the best way to do it. And you might have strengths elsewhere. It might be the way you deal with callers, or the way that you can tell a story, or the way you can handle a feature on the radio, which is often, you know, a lot of presenters rely on features during a show, and Chris isn't necessarily like that. He's much more organic with the way links start, and the features might be a bit more sparse, but that's just the way that's where his strengths lie. So I think it's finding your strengths and playing to those.
I will always encourage creativity with presenters, but you've got to get the basics right. It's like sport, it's like any job you do. Get the basics right. They should become second nature to you. They should become like when you're driving and you get somewhere and you don't realise how you've got there, you've done it. It's you can drive the desk without even thinking about it. And only when you've got those basics down well can you start to develop your style.
You have some of the best pranks on radio. And I have to ask, how do you keep these a secret from your presenters?
Because the presenters are very stupid. No, they're not very stupid. And the presenters are very, very... they're very gracious in allowing us to do these kind of things. And it's about knowing your presenters, getting them that trust there, knowing that it is a part of a joke. And it's because we are such a team and there's that real gang mentality that we have, and it is literally just playing tricks on each other. It's like you used to do with your mates. It's like you do with your mates down the pub. It's like you do with your mates at uni or college or wherever. And because that trust and that openness is there between them, it doesn't become bitchy, it doesn't become hard, it doesn't become vindictive, it doesn't become spiteful for the most part.
But have any of them deliberately try to find out what's going on? Have they been ever suspicious?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, Vernon was always trying to work out when we were going to do a prank back. But I think the key is as well, everyone likes a good prank and they want it to work. So when you get people in on board with it, they want it to work just as much as you do. So when, say for example, the engineers get a chance to be in on a prank, it's like all their Christmases have come at once, so there's no way they're gonna risk anyone else finding out. So when you tell someone to keep it a secret and on lockdown, everyone keeps it on lockdown. They want it, the prank to work, so that they're part of it. So yeah, so Vernon can try and find out, Chris can try and find out, but they won't get anywhere.
It's all in the planning. It's definitely all in the planning. Like, we do have to be meticulous. And I know producer Neil, Vernon's producer, the lengths they went to, especially with the hijacking of our Platinum Hour, yeah. The lengths they went to make sure that everything worked when they hijacked it and took over with Kay's catalogue in another studio. They kept our on-air light on, which I think was actually quite tricky to do, even though we weren't on air. So we, even when they had taken over, we still thought that we had control of the studio. Yet all they'd done is just make sure that little red light in the centre had stayed on. So it's definitely down to attention to detail when it comes to pranking.
And don't tell us either.
Yeah.
Don't tell the producers.
No, we knew nothing about any of them. And I don't think they knew about ours either. So yeah, keep it secret.
And one of the big sells of a show, which is just as fun and interactive as this, is visualization. It's having the content on the website. You've picked out the best moments. You mentioned earlier that you do actually spend time picking out those and thinking very carefully about how those are coordinated. Should student radio presenters be learning to present to camera?
Personally, I think yes. I think as they get older and as they get into radio, it isn't just about the audio, it's about the whole package, and we see more and more people come to us with basic editing skills In terms of visuals as well as audio. I think it's only going to become more that way as the content seeps out from just your radio output into your social channels, through your site. So, yeah, I think it's... And the more strings you have to your bow, the more valuable you become.
OK, just quickly then, do you remember your first experience of being on the camera for a radio show, and how was it?
Oh, wow. I mean, my actual first experience was actually the Chris Moyle Show back on Radio 1 back in the day when we were doing little challenges on their show, and you'd see yourself in the background and you'd be like really paranoid about it. That was really odd. But I think it's becoming almost second nature now. So this time it was a little bit odd when we first saw our clips going out on Facebook and the amount of views we were getting. So that was starting to get a bit weird, and then people comment on the clothes you're wearing, or you know, something about your hair that day, or an expression that you've made. So that gear gets a little bit weird, but you just start getting used to it, don't you? It's almost like you forget that the cameras are there. Very handy. It's not live, by the way. Like, it doesn't get streamed live, but it's an odd thing, isn't it, that you just start to... It means that you can't roll out of bed either. I have to put makeup on every morning. That's irritating. You have the same, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, the cameras are quite subtle, so they're not in your face. So you do, and I think we've all got jobs to do in that studio, so you're not actually ever really thinking about, is the camera on me now? Because we're all quite focused on the job in hand, which is doing the radio show. The only times I ever am really aware of it, apart from watching it back, is when my mates might come up and say that I've got a little tick, or I looked weird one day or something. I go, did I? I didn't even realise that. So it's actually when my mates start taking the mick a bit, then I'm suddenly then a bit more aware that I am being filmed and these things are going out to millions of people. So, but I think when you're so kind of focused on the job that you're doing in that studio, and it all lies with, you know, making sure that we're communicating correctly and the next feature's coming up and that's going to work right. I think the last thing on your mind is how you're looking on the cameras.
Oh, I know the visual one that was my first one, proper radio revision. And even though I didn't have anything to revise, the team made me get on it anyway. And they've got the camera at a very dodgy angle and it looked almost pornographic. Anyway,
three
yeah, that was a little bit of a baptism of fire, shall we say, into having the first bit of a visualised radio out on the internet. So, yeah, kind of learnt from that, shied away from it for a bit, and now we're on it all the time.
Well, that's all the questions I have, but one of the features that has worked really well in the show is having handwritten letters come in to the studio. With that in mind, a couple of students did handwritten questions for you. I'd love if you guys read them out and gave quick-fire answers to them as well.
Is there a big difference in your presenting style doing breakfast compared to afternoon? I've not really got a presenting style, I don't think, because by trade, I'm not a presenter. So I think you need to make sure you're chirpy and lively at breakfast, and you've got to really be thinking on your feet and trying as best you can to be quick-witted, especially when you've got Chris stood opposite you firing questions and links at you. So
quite topical as well, breakfast, isn't it? Like?
And yes, and very topical as well.
Thanks, sorry. Butting in as usual. Right, Dave and Pippa, as people who are in the radio business, how important do you feel the SRA is for new radio talent? And how did you find the mornings at first? Okay, so two questions there. I mean, personally, seeing the success that Greg James has had, that's obviously very important. And what I love is, I know we all bandy the term radio geeks around quite a lot, but I think it's a real compliment to be called a radio geek or a radio nerd, to be that excited about what you're doing in the medium and where you're aiming for. Is really precious, I think, and it's going to really give you loads of motivation to keep going. So I think it's really important. It's so lovely being here talking to everyone who's really interested in eating up everything you've got to say. So yeah, massively important, massively important.
Hiya, do you think radio should include your podcast catch-up listening figures? Yes, it should. It never will.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you so much, guys, for a wonderful talk and for sticking around.